Hello, and welcome to step two of the Stepping Stones to Healing and Thriving program. So, this step is entitled Reconnecting with Your Body. And what we're going to be doing is learning how to establish a healthy relationship with your body. So, I warmly welcome you to this presentation. And herein, we're going to explore how to establish a healthy relationship with your body by using compassion, guided imagery, and the internal family system principles. As a fellow childhood trauma survivor, I understand the challenges that may arise to disconnecting from the body. It's like we don't really know who we are at our core sometimes. And I am aware of how difficult this process of healing can be. So please know that you're not alone in this journey of self-discovery and reconnection. Many childhood trauma survivors don't notice what goes on with their bodies. Instead, they notice themselves in only this way. They tend to focus on what's going on from the neck up. It's like the body isn't even there. Have you noticed that when you look in a mirror, you just look at your face and your hair? Well, this behavior is especially common amongst those who've experienced sexual abuse. So that's why we have this goal of learning and adopting strategies and practices that support with developing a healthy relationship with your body and maintaining awareness of and appreciation for it, doing so with compassion and curiosity. Slowly, we can all learn how to get reacquainted and develop healthy curiosity and a respectful, compassionate relationship with our bodies. Healing from childhood trauma involves reconnecting with your body, embracing it with compassion, and establishing that healthy relationship with every part of yourself, including your emotions. And we can gently explore and heal the fragmented parts through visualization techniques like the lens of internal family systems, which fosters a sense of wholeness and inner peace. So, this process of reconnection is divided up into three modules. The first one is understand. So we're going to understand the lasting impact of trauma. Then we're going to rebuild it. So we're going to look at reacquainting and reconnecting and some strategies for that. And then integrate. So we're going to expand on the exercises and techniques so that they become part of how you show up. So module one, this is the lasting impact of childhood trauma. So defining childhood trauma as it refers to adverse experiences that happen in childhood. The effects of trauma and how it relates to the disconnection to the body, and why it's important to recognize these impacts for your healing. So, what exactly is childhood trauma? Well, childhood trauma isn't necessarily the event itself, although they can be quite huge. Trauma results from the adverse experiences that overwhelm the nervous system. ACEs. ACE is an acronym for Adverse Childhood Experiences. So, a website from the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control in the US, it talks about ACEs and it has this to say. ACEs can include violence, abuse, and growing up in a family with mental health or substance use problems, where there is incarceration, poverty, and more. So, when there is no trustworthy, attuned, and emotionally safe enough parent around, toxic stress from ACEs can change brain development and affect how the body responds to stress. ACEs are linked to chronic health problems, mental illness, social challenges, self-harming behavior, and substance misuse in adulthood. It is definitely a health issue, and that is something that happens in our own communities and something that cannot be ignored. So some of the most common effects of ACEs are dissociation, anxiety, chronic pain, and difficulty connecting with the body. So anxiety is addressed in step four, and pain or the physical symptoms are going to be addressed in step five. But in this step, we will look more at dissociation and the brain-body disconnect. Dissociation happens automatically when the nervous system senses overload and the young child cannot process what's happening. It might manifest initially as shock trauma. So when this is left unresolved, the feelings that arise from various traumatic events cause the body to separate or disconnect itself from the emotions and feelings. So the child can just carry on with everyday life. And you might have even heard of cases of sexual abuse survivors when they talk about that when the abuse is happening, they actually have envisions of them being outside of their body so that they don't feel what is happening. That actually is a freeze response. But other times, disconnect can happen when the child is in an environment with little to no emotional support, but it's ongoing. It's chronic. This child has no way of knowing how to regulate their feelings, so it learns to ignore them too, or to squash them in order to carry on with life. Well, if you think about it, how else can you eat a meal with your abuser every day without pretending that the abuse isn't happening? You need to ignore the anxious stomach, the racing heart, and the feeling of being unsafe. Because you have to keep the secret, right? You've got to keep pretending. So, and this applies where the abuser is an adult in the family, a sibling, or another person who lives in or frequently visits the same household. Could be a foster child or a foster parent, too, cousin, somebody who works in the home, like a housekeeper or gardener or anything like that, or their children, right? So over the years, this adaptive survival strategy no longer serves a healthful lifestyle. That's when it becomes maladaptive. So learning new ways of being, it leads to actually living a more authentic lifestyle, which is something that we all want. So it's important that we recognize these impacts because we can't fix what we don't acknowledge. So I invite you now to go to your workbook. And in there, you're going to be asked, how do you feel about your body and its response to childhood trauma? And there are body maps in there that you can kind of show where you're having these sensations. And again, it helps you increase awareness. So module two, this is where we are building, reacquainting, and reconnecting. So we're going to look at the importance of developing robust wellness strategies and a team that supports you as you go through the trauma recovery journey. And there's going to be a brief overview of coping strategies that are helpful. So one of them for building a positive relationship with your body. So when we're little, we are naturally controlled by our emotions because the prefrontal cortex is still developing. For childhood trauma survivors, emotions or physical sensations are usually overwhelming. When children see that their caregivers are not able to meet their emotional needs and help them regulate them and help them settle and keeping them feeling safe and loved, they then have to learn how to manage these feelings on their own without any guidance. So what usually happens is that they learn to ignore or shut down from these emotions or these emotional alarms. So they learn to disconnect. In short term, this is a survival mechanism and it works quite well. With the emotional alarm silenced, the child can then focus on schoolwork, doing their best, achieving as best they can, hoping that maybe if they do good work, they will be noticed and appreciated. They may get validated. They may come to believe that they have to be perfect to be loved and valued. The child does not learn that they are already worthy just because they exist. If they can't focus academically, then they might be mislabeled as someone with ADHD or ADD or oppositional defiance disorder or some other kind of social disorder. So then over time, as the years go by, this strategy of ignoring the body's feelings becomes a way of being. The childhood trauma survivor, they don't know any different. And this is where their what worked as worked well at one time was an adaptive strategy. It then becomes maladaptive. And that these now adults are the ones who don't know themselves very well. They don't think about their personal values often. They don't know how they feel. And they might not even be able to describe themselves very well. I invite you to remember that emotions and feelings are the body's way of communicating with you. So instead of being frustrated with your body, be kind and compassionate with it. Be gentle and learn to listen to your body. So you honor your body's experiences. I invite you to acknowledge the resilience and survival mechanisms that your body has developed. Building a positive relationship with your body needs a self-compassion practice. Self-compassion helps the brain to rewire itself. I invite you to acknowledge and appreciate the resilience and survival mechanisms that your body has developed. Their purpose was to keep you alive. This is an opportunity to be thankful for these choices. So, steps for reconnecting and healing. I call these the three A's. First, there's the awareness. Notice how you feel in your body. Notice what you feel and where. Then there's the acceptance. Oh, so accept your body's responses without judgment. And then there's the affirmation. You want to keep reaffirming your body's worth and strength. So mindfulness and body awareness techniques for getting reacquainted include things like practicing by being present in the moment. So scan your body to notice any areas of tension or relaxation or something in between. There's gentle movement and exercise. So engage in activities that include gentle stretches and walking, slow dancing, stretching, so on. Focus on the movements that feel good in your body. And then listening to your body's signals. Pay attention to hunger, fatigue, thirst, emotional cues. Respect and respond to your body's needs. So you're invited to go to your workbook, and you could pause the presentation if you'd like and proceed to go, because it asks some good questions here. What are some ways that you can honor your body's experiences? How can you show self-compassion towards yourself today? How can you incorporate mindfulness into your daily routine? And how can you make friends with your emotions? All of that is unpacked in the workbook. Module 3, this is where we integrate. We practice exercises and techniques. We adopt these into our life. So here we get to the part where you can practice reconnecting to your body, yourself, and I'll be your guide. Reconnecting with a compassionate and curious voice. So what does this look like and feel like? Building a healthy relationship with your body and yourself takes time. Using befriending and visualizing techniques, I will gently share what is helping me feel more self-aware. Noticing the body sensations and listening to to what it's telling me. Internal family systems therapy is a form of therapy identified by Dr. Richard Schwartz, and he discovered this just through listening to his patients and gaining credibility. This process, pardon me, is gaining credibility through the mental health field, and it's impacting how many trauma therapists and specialists approach their clients because it has a high success rate. It is known as IFS, or called internal family systems. And I will admit that there are some forms of therapy that can be associated with the spirit realm or may feel too woo-woo-ish for you. And for me, I pay attention to that, so I endeavor to stay away from those types of therapies. For you, it's up to your choice on what you want to do. But however, when I first was introduced to IFS, I kind of thought it was the same thing. But when I look at their principles, it made sense to me because I've seen the benefits of this with myself and with my clients. It's just another form of inner child work. So as I mentioned, I find that visualization strategies and learning how to befriend our feelings and emotions, learning to listen to our inner wounded little selves, this is a large part of trauma recovery, and it reduces the gap of disconnection that causes childhood trauma survivors so much suffering and sadness. And by noticing where in your body you are sensing discomfort, pain, anxiety, and so on, you can afford to hold space for this area without it overwhelming your nervous system and emotions. So reconnecting via the inner child work with an IFS voice. So IFS teaches that we all have a core part that is not impacted by the trauma. It's called your true self and being in self energy. Yet, you know, the trauma is too painful to be addressed when we first experienced the abuse, right? We were so little. We didn't have the cognitive or emotional capacity to do so. So the body, in its infinite wisdom and desire for self-preservation, locked these painful sensations away. Sometimes they're so deep that there's no conscious memory of them at all, especially in picture form. Yet, the trauma is still stored in the body on a cellular level. It's in your muscles, your tissues, your bones, your brain, all of that. The body remembers in this sense. You know, physically, the body bleeds and bruises when it's been hit. And when these wounds aren't dealt with properly, they fester and they can even cause severe health risks, up to death. And when it comes to emotional injuries, the impact, otherwise known as the trauma, it stays there too, if it wasn't addressed in a healthful manner. So these injuries, these emotional injuries, can be just as life-threatening. Traumatologists and people like Gabor Maté, Basil van der Kolk, and Richard Schwartz now say that it isn't the event itself that is necessarily causes the lasting harm, but rather it's being alone with the feelings that results from the event. We all need a compassionate witness. The traumas, the memories of, like, the feelings of fear, terror, anger, grief, in time, they will start to surface. These emotional wounds need to be processed and released. They need to be detoxed from the body. This is how the emotional pain or the emotional infection is cleaned out. This is communicated through thoughts or manifests as pain, body aches, or illness and disease. So yes, an emotional detox does need to happen. So connecting to your inner child or inner children. If you feel more comfortable, you can call it inner child work. It is a gentle and compassionate practice aimed at healing the wounded littles inside that stem from the childhood trauma. It involves reconnecting with them, acknowledging their pain, listening to them, offering them the love and understanding and validation that they most likely missed. By nurturing and listening to these inner childlike parts, we create a safe space for them to express their emotions and needs. This process helps us to detox the emotional pain, integrate past experiences, and foster self-acceptance so that emotional healing and a deeper sense of wholeness results. Through inner child work, we honor our past and empower ourselves to move forward with greater resilience and compassion. So let's go back to the IFS model so that you can understand a little bit more about it. The exiles, these are the wounds themselves. These are the after effects of the abuse that was suffered. These intense feelings were too painful to fully experience or acknowledge when we were little. So to protect the body and nervous system from feeling those feelings, other parts came to be. These were parts or behaviors that manifested in order to protect us from feeling the exiles or feeling the emotional wounds. So they try to keep these feelings at bay. They work to ensure that the individual carries on in life and that they're functional. So this behavior is more manager-like. So they are managers and they have a proactive way about them. They want to protect the exiles from feeling. So then the other manager styles, they're like firefighters and they are reactive. So they help distract from and suppress the pain of unwanted and exiled feelings. So these spring into action when the exiles are triggered, because they want to suppress those feelings. So like any family where each member plays a certain role, IFS teaches that inside ourselves is a family style system in which each part or feeling or response or reaction, they have a role, they play a role. And then the others either react or respond to each other. So, and these roles were and are established to protect the unwanted feelings or exiles, right? Remember, they happen when we're little and we never learned the strategies on how to manage them. We didn't have a parent to help us co-regulate them. So this means that every response or reaction that you've had since the abuse and trauma is adaptive to the situation at hand. It takes your nervous system into account and its dire need to feel safe. So these parts stay at the emotional level of when they came to be. It's like they're frozen in time, and therefore they remain immature. So as I said, this may sound a little bit hokey or woo-woo to you, and I get that. But I'd like to invite you to consider something. When you take the time to notice, you will probably see that your emotional reactions to certain situations or individuals today are not as emotionally mature and wise-minded as you hoped. This is reflective of the fact that the current situation was triggering an emotionally immature wound. So, like for example, when you were a kid, you might have had a temper tantrum, or you might have had that tendency. So how do adults show temper tantrums? They might do road rage, or they might, texting, and they are expletive and explosive on how they respond to different things. That's just one example of some childish or immature behavior, but it's a part of us that is doing that, right? So the thing is, how can we fix that? So when I use the word fix, but reality means what needs to happen is the healing of the wounds that are held in our body and emotions. We need to help it to release that trauma energy. And this can happen when we begin to develop that compassionate and kind understanding of our wounds and allow them to express themselves. Some initial steps involve guided imagery or visualizations. So we might practice some guided imagery apps or use them or we can record ourselves. And in the workbook, I've got some examples of how what a guided imagery looks like and how you can even record it yourself so that you can do that mental process. And that gives our mind a break from the trauma and the stress that we're dealing with, and it allows it to go into a calm mental space. Or there's journaling for self-reflection. So you write about your body's experiences and your feelings toward it. Notice where you sense discomfort or pain and be curious about it and see what memories come up for that. And you do that always with patience and curiosity. And journaling is really important because part of trauma recovery is rewiring our brain. So the proof of getting our thoughts that travel down to our hand into a pen and we write it on paper, that is one of the best ways that we can rewire our brain. There's something about the handwriting process that is healing. And I get it that some might have a challenge with that. So work, do what's best for you. But I do invite, encourage you to try the journaling part about it. And then there's three, there's the self-compassionate self-talk. So again, we speak compassionately and kindly to the memories or thoughts that surface. We always validate them and offer understanding. We hold space for as long as it takes for that memory or feeling to lose its intensity and for it to accept your love and compassion and strength. We're developing a relationship with these emotions and these memories and these feelings. So this practice, it might be done many, many times, and that's quite normal. I've had to do that myself. It takes a, took me a long time for my body to trust this process. So why? So much of trauma healing involves reparenting ourselves. So imagine that you're a little child and look at that child with love and compassion. You will need to reparent this child and give it what it didn't get it at when it was growing up. Right? They need that love. They need that compassion, the understanding, the validation, the respect, the patience, the 100% unconditional acceptance of who they are. We give that back to our little wounded ones. This emotional support is crucial to healing the emotional injuries that were sustained during the abuse. And in the long run, it builds self-trust. And we're going to look at trust in step six. So, reminding you that healing from childhood trauma means that reconnecting with your body, embracing it with compassion, and building a healthy relationship with every part of yourself. In conclusion, we're doing is reconnecting with your body through awareness and compassion. We're using IFS or inner child work and guided imagery to heal and integrate different parts of yourself and soothe the nervous system. And we engage in practical exercises that support your healing journey. So again, you're invited to go to your workbook. You can either pause here or continue on to the final slide. But in the workbook, you're invited to reflect on the suggestions provided, write your thoughts about them, and imagine the ways that you can incorporate them into your life. And then when you're ready, you create an action plan for doing so. So, congratulations on completing this step, reconnecting to your body. So, as presented, healing from childhood trauma involves reconnecting with your body, embracing it with compassion, and establishing a healthy relationship with yourself and every part. You have gently explored and learned some steps for healing and reconnecting with the fragmented inner childlike parts through visualization techniques, which build a sense of wholeness and inner peace. So, thank you for investing in you.